You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm here with
James Wrench.
And I'm here, meaning Luann Linekin. Hello, hello, hello. And today we're going to be touching a little bit on Halloween, spiritual activity, and spirits, and a little bit of groundbreaking for the unloving spirit, because we talked a lot about the love of God and what it takes to do God's service, you know, in our hearts, loving people and knowing that love lives in us. So I felt like it was important to share about love first so that people are secure in who they are in Christ, so that when we talk about the unloving spirit, if anybody identifies or they know, all they have to do is, what is it, confess and repent. It's the same thing with what we're going to talk about today. We both feel in our heart that we just want everyone to know there is no judgment here. You know, there are certain things that I do, but I, you know, for this holiday, it's not even a holiday, for this activity tonight that people participate in. There's no condemnation here because I participated for a long time and God loves me and he loves you, who's ever listening.
And we love
there's
you.
No judge. And we love you. Go ahead, James. You want to share that you love everybody too?
Yeah, we just want to, you know, I remember thinking how cuckoo I thought some people were before I started actually getting some deliverance. I would have never believed in a million years I could have had any kind of spirits. But I had like fear, insecurities, and a lot of stuff. And the unloving spirit I had really strong. And that, we'll see. I don't want to start getting into it because it's kind of a long teaching thing. But it's just things we have from our childhood passed down, we don't even realize that are operating against us receiving the love of God without even knowing it. And so we're going to just explain the origins of Halloween a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit about Halloween, because Halloween is in itself, you know, it's like anything, like alcohol, a bottle of vodka is not evil, but it's what I allow it to do in my life and what the enemy is able to do if I partake in something that is not good for me. You know, it's a legal right. And the enemy, the spirits, which we are going to be talking about today, cannot touch you legally if you're walking in righteousness, if you're following Christ, his word, his will, his way. So, and these little things in our life, and it's not only this, it's reading horoscopes. I mean, it's so subtle. I mean, I've done them and I had to repent, you know, and there's sometimes I find myself even talking negatively, getting on the bus. With, you know, on the I don't feel good bus with people. You know, it's those legal rights that the enemy can step in and manipulate your life and get I wrote here, the first thing I want to say is give no place to the devil and no place, no room. And we talk about our heart when we talked about love, that there's chambers. It's the mansion. It's the spiritual realm. Our inner man, heart. You know, is the chamber and the place, the kingdom of heaven. That's the territory. And he's saying, give no place to the enemy to manipulate that. And how does he do that? By our will. We make decisions. We make choices. We speak certain things that give the enemy. He's waiting. to devour, to kill, steal, and destroy who he can. So, you know, he's waiting for that opportunity to get step in and invade a territory. And that's why God, in the scriptures, it says when you do get delivered, when you do clean house, it's the same thing when you give up drinking or smoking or whatever it is. You want to fill that place with positive things, with love, with God's word, right? Because the enemy will come, and not only will you might, what do they say, fall off the wagon or relapse or, you know, what is it, step back, you know? But it gets worse. It gets 10 times worse when you do that. Not only because, it leaves you, it starts off where you left off, but it plays with your mind. It tells you how horrible of a person you are. That's the enemy. That's a spirit that's talking to you, because God doesn't talk negative to us. He talks love to us. Right, James?
Yes. And the Lord was putting on me earlier, I was sharing with Luann, want us to kind of just break down a little bit more on spirits, because it's easy to think, oh, well, these people are those people. Yeah, in Africa, or this person with this problem, yeah, he's definitely had demonic stuff. He was killing people or so-and-so, and not knowing that we battle not against flesh and blood, and whether it's insecurity, lust, right, tempers, that these are actually spiritual entities. And
that are harassing cast you. Yeah.
Probably thousands out of people. Yeah. And
amen.
They're... when you don't know the problem, you just keep battling the situation, whether it's alcohol, whether it's sex, whether it's anger or blowing up at someone or being insecure or afraid to speak in front of people, whatever it is, those things are things I've been delivered of, a lot of them. And there's still things I'm
right
getting delivered of.
It's even like worry is a spiritual attack.
Yeah, any
you know,
fear.
Yeah.
We've
or
relabeled
anxiety.
It as stress.
Right.
That's fear.
Yeah.
Stress is fear. Worry, fear.
Yeah. Oh, even diagnosed as
we
depression.
We call it wisdom, though. Yeah. Oh, that's just wisdom, brother. I'll think, you know, that's not wisdom. You're gonna fear.
Amen.
And fear always speaks the what-if question. What if this happened? What if that? Whenever I hear what if. If it's in the future, it's the spirit of fear. If it's in the past, it's that self-pity, that unloving
depression.
Thing.
Yeah.
Oh, what if I'd had different parents? What if I wouldn't have married this one? What if I wouldn't have done this? What if I took this job? Mm-hmm. What if I wouldn't have had this job? What if... it always keeps you, and there's nothing back there. You can't change the past.
Mm-mm.
It just keeps you living there, so you can't go forward into your future God has for you.
Right. So I want to start today with a little bit of background of Halloween. And I know we want to dress it up to make it look nice and all that, but we have to get honest with people. I mean, it's definitely a pagan holiday, festivity, and we want to talk about that today. So, and there's no judgment, because, you know, God works in all of us as we grow and we get the revelation. It's not about me trying to get you to have revelation or me trying to change anyone or even myself. It's about the word of God being spoken and giving you the revelation. It's only through the word of God that someone can be transformed. Doesn't matter how many times I tell somebody something, they have to get that revelation in their heart. And that's where the room, that chamber, that space that the enemy is trying to, maybe even he has it right now, the light gets in there. And when the light gets in, the darkness flees. Hallelujah, right?
I want to say one thing in my life was, there's things I was not getting attacked for. And as I started moving deeper in God, deeper in healing, then when I started doing deliverance, things I couldn't get away with without getting attacked, that I never had no problem with before. And the Lord had gave me a vision in the beginning, because a lot of stuff was like, I started seeing the spirit realm, just stuff going around my house. It was just getting a little crazy at first. And I just started casting demons out of everybody. And they were coming out, like manifesting and coming out, but they're going back in because I wasn't breaking the legal rights. So it's actually casting spirits out of people that I had no legal right, but they left under my authority, but they're not going to stay out. So I think that's why the crazy stuff was happening in my house, because I'm just mad because the enemy tried to kill me and I'm going to cast them out of everybody. But then I learned, you know, they got to repent. You got to get repent, or else it just goes right back and go in with more.
That's the key, because we can confess lots of things, but if we don't change the behavior or turn our direction to the way God wants us to to walk it, think it, talk it, then we're going to just confess and then go right back into what we were doing. And there's no repentance in that.
Amen.
So that's really key, what James just said.
And so anyway, I had this vision, and it was like little house doors about 2 inches by an inch all over my body, like the doors on your house.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were closed and some of them were open, and there was actually little things in some of them, and some of them were empty. And the Lord just, I had this vision, and then he spoke through a knowing, he speaks different ways, that there's doors that I'm not getting attacked in, but as I start casting demons out of other people, I'm going to start getting attacked, that I got to go back and close doors, you know, forgiveness doors and different things. I'm hitting the table making noise. So I know she's pointing in her ear. The head guy's pointing in his ear. Okay, sorry about that. But anyway, so as we close doors, and this would be one you're probably not getting attacked over, but it's an occultic door. You're joining with an occultic ceremony. We'll talk more about it. I don't want to.
Amen.
She'll probably speak everything I have written down, because we don't talk it over beforehand.
No, we let the Lord lead us, and then it's the same information. So that's why we're able to even go back and forth with it, which is beautiful. You know, the Holy Spirit's the same in who's ever listening as it is in me, as he is in James. Hallelujah. So I did want to read Deuteronomy 18, 9 through, well, first of all, 9 through 14 I'm going to read. And the headline, I'll say, of the scripture, the title, is Avoid Wicked Customs. And when I was reading it, I got a little chuckle because God said, today it's wicked costumes. So I was like, that's so cute, God. That's what it is. You know, Holy Spirit's funny. Okay, so it says this. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft or soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. So you're for God's Christians, the ones, the followers, the citizens of heaven, okay, that's not what he's appointing us to do. Now, I will say that this was my favorite holiday. I mean, I really did, and I always say it. I loved God. I was afraid of God. I thought in the natural, not spiritually understood.
Always my favorite holiday.
It was always my favorite. And I got to wear who I believed I was. I had, you know, a identity crisis, not in Christ. So I believed I was a witch, and I had my little, you know, it was like the day that I can be. And not only that, but before that, it's the day that I can manifest fantasies, basically, you know, like confusion. Like, because when I used to go to parties, I would dress like a prostitute. And I was living like a prostitute. I was dressed like a witch. And I was conjuring up potions, reading horoscopes, you know, going to psychics. So I was actually, we think it's harmless, but these are the legal rights that being manipulated in our thinking and justification, because I wasn't hurting anybody. Look at the kids are happy. And I even did it in the beginning. The closer I get to God, like you were saying, James, earlier, the more clear this becomes for me and my walk. Everyone is at a place with the Lord. And like I said, I started out my walk, and I still took my son trick-or-treating and did things, you know what I mean? Like, and it was a gradual change in my life. It wasn't something that happened very quickly, because, you know, I love God and I was learning about God. I was getting closer. And the more I spent time with him, the less these things became something that I had to follow everybody else in doing.
And I don't point it out. I'm in a church that does that, that I'm just went into. God healed that lady. And
amen.
I'm not saying anything to him about all that stuff they're doing. And they actually raised $43,000 with the pumpkin things for the youth kids going on missions for youth. So, but we just want to share some truth, because I never heard the truth. And actually, if I'd have heard it before I actually got any deliverance, I'd have thought it was nuts. I remember someone was on the radio talking about the movie Ghost.
Yeah.
And I had really liked that movie. Uh-huh, and I served the Lord at that time, and God was healing people.
Yeah.
I
mean, I was
filled with
the
Holy Spirit.
This is real. I know.
And I was like, oh, man, they're just what a bunch
of... But they were talking to dead people.
But, you know, we're coming from where we're coming from. Because I remember when I first got filled with the Spirit, and I mean, I instantly quit drinking, quit sleeping with my girlfriend. Since 1989, I ain't drank. It was real. And told me to go pray for someone, but I still thought abortion was okay.
Mm-hmm. That's
I had
right.
been deceived,
right.
you know, and, yes. and you call that a stronghold when you get the enemy can give you a stronghold, which isn't even actually a spirit. It's just he's built a fortress up in your mind.
Right.
The truth can't get in, which can allow demons in, but mm-hmm. it's not actually even a demon. It's a belief system
that needs to be
just locked in
now.
There.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And like one of them is once saved, always saved. You can't ever argue the person about that. Quit trying if you're trying, because there's a spirit behind that one.
Amen.
And there's just, they get behind certain little things there, see, because that can really give people permission to just go off the deep end. Hey, I'm going to heaven. I can go party, sleep with women, whatever.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well,
there's
a reason the enemy locks that in.
But.
Yeah. I thought I was with a Christian man, and we were planning on getting married. So, what was wrong with, you know, having intercourse and all that? But
I gotta say something about that since we're mentioning it.
Okay.
this guy there's a guy in Texas that got crazy amounts of healing, and this man came to him and he said, I've been married to my wife for 25 years. She's divorcing me. And he was, what do you call him? You can't have sex? Impotent, right?
Impotent.
Okay, he was impotent. And he's like, well, you're always that way. He says, no, at first we were really good for about the first 6 months, and then I don't know what happened. And then he said, well, did you have sex before you're married? He said, well, yeah, she knew the Lord, I knew the Lord, and we went to her pastor because I met her on a missions trip, and she was just in a strung out divorce. And the pastor said he thought, you know, since we have made our commitment or whatever, and we're gonna be married, and he knew we were sincere, that he didn't see anything wrong with living together and having sex. He said, well, I hate to tell you, but there's your problem. And then he had him repent, prayed. He came back, and 3 months later, he said, God, I wish I'd have met you 25 years ago.
Amen. But see how...
he said, she's not divorcing me now either. He said, everything went right back to normal the minute.
Right.
It's just... So subtle, the enemy.
Amen. And that's what we're trying to say, even with partaking in rituals or these traditions, right? We don't know. It could be the enemy can get in different areas because he has a legal right. So that's all we're saying is if we...
Perfect example was my great-grandfather, whom I didn't know, and I went to this deliverance ministry. I had a physical thing going on, and they said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting like you with the hands thing. What is this? Except you don't make noise. And it said this is usually from Freemasonry. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know what that was.
That's
and
right.
I came home, asked my mom if we had any Freemasons. She mm-hmm. said not that she knew of. I prayed for God to show me. And month later, somebody changed my great-grandfather's tombstone up north where her sisters live and put a tombstone with a big Freemasonry sign on it. And she called my mom all upset. Her sister did. And my mom told me, I said, that was for me. Praise God. And I called the ministry back. It's a long repentance list, but I went through that repentance list.
Yeah.
And man, it's like a golf ball came out of my throat, that thing. And I was totally healed instantly.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to know more about the Freemason repentance list and everything, they can contact me 631-745-7980, and I can share with and James, you know, with you, and we can do a deliverance.
And I just want to say,
shouldn't do that one alone. Yeah.
Yeah, the curse, all disease, sickness is under the curse in Deuteronomy 28. It says, if you keep my covenants, these blessings will come. If you do not, these curses will come.
Right.
And they'll go three and four generations.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fourth generation. Like,
right.
If it had been one more up, I'd have been okay. Now it says sexual sin will go 10 generations. And I've seen that. A lady manifested an adulterous spirit was screaming and didn't know what was going on. It was a spirit of adultery. 7 years, seven generations ahead of her, the demon said, that's how it got in.
That's right. So we don't even know, even with we're talking pagan holidays, traditions, we don't know when it could affect. We can have a perfect life, think, you know. Well,
it affects our great-grandkids. That's the point of this.
Amen. That's why we want to break those. The way we break those generational curses is by us repenting, confessing and repenting, and then it's broken from that place on, you know?
And is this for sure getting something in? We're just saying, we just want to share.
Yes.
So be careful.
Let me just share about Halloween. Okay, so the truth about Halloween. I'm going to start with Ephesians 5:11. It says, take no part in this unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So I feel led in my heart. I know James does because we went to lunch earlier this week and I said, I really think we should talk about this. And I know that I did in the past, but I wanted to talk again about it because it actually fell on the broadcast day. So what does Halloween mean? The word Halloween literally means the evening before All Hallows, All Saints Day. Celebrated on November 1st. Halloween is also the short name of All Halloween, All Hallows Evening, and All Saints Eve, which is celebrated on October 31st. The origin and meaning of Halloween are derived from the ancient Celtic Ireland harvest festival called Samhain. But more recently, we think of Halloween as a night filled with candy, trick-or-treating, pumpkins, ghosts, and death, right? So this is, and when they say the end of heart, so Samhain is about the end of harvest and the beginning of winter and the blurring of, they do believe this. This is what the whole ritual was about, the blurring of boundaries between the world of the living and the dead. So they would get costumes on, they would burn harvest, and prepare for the next season, and they would honor the dead. We're supposed to let the dead bury the dead, and, you know, the only person we're supposed to be honoring, glorifying is Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well,
right?
Dead people aren't around, just
and
so anybody knows.
People, yeah.
Ghosts are not dead people. Those are spirits.
Exactly. Totally different, okay? So allow the spirits, and then they allow the spirits to return to earth. So they're conjuring the spirits, okay? They think it's dead people, but it's spirits to...
And they call some of them evil spirits.
Yeah. walk the earth, okay?
The Celtics do.
Yeah, so pagan is Celtic. God calls anyone pagan, anyone. You don't have to be a Celtic, an Irish person celebrating this, or a non-believer. Even believers can be pagan in their thinking by practicing things that are ungodly, unholy, not according to God's word, okay? Pagan tradition rituals, ancient, they would do costumes and fall festivals. What is a pagan? People who worship other gods or idols instead of God of Israel. And the reason why I'm saying that, because God tells us, and then the disciples were telling people that they were falling into idolatry, falling into paganism, okay? Even after Christ, even after they were claiming to be born again, they were choosing other things. They were choosing the disciples to worship. And they said, whoa, no, it doesn't matter who you follow. We should be following the one. Hallelujah. So Halloween origins. Many believe Halloween originated from the festival of Samhain to have been the beginning of the Celtic year at Samhain. Farmers brought, and this is what they believe. I did a lot of reading this week because I wanted to study, and I already had stuff from the last time I spoke about this, but I was reading a lot, and it seems like the common thing, the common root is from this festival.
Yeah,
okay?
For sure. That's, and then I got it. That's what I was.
And then the Catholic, the Pope, turned it into something else to try to dress it up. And I'm not.
Well, he was trying to bring them together because it was such a big celebrated thing, and so he was trying to bring things together along with. Go ahead.
So the farmers brought livestock in from summer pastures, and people gathered to build shelters for winter. The festival also had religious significance, and people burned fruits, vegetables, grain, and possibly even animals or animal offerings to the gods. And it's to the dead people, the spirits, the you know, that they were having the festival for. In ancient Celtic stories, Samhain was a magical time of transition when important battles were fought and fairies cast spells. It was a time when the barriers between the natural world and the supernatural were broken. The Celts believed that the dead would walk among the living at this time. During Samhain, the living could visit with the dead, who they believe held secrets of the future. Scholars believe that Halloween's association with ghost food and fortune-telling began with these pagan customs more than 2,000 years ago. And these customs, the Bible was already written. Jesus was already here. So these customs happen after. So I believe that if Jesus wanted us to know, practice these customs, and it's the same thing, you know, with drugs and all these things, you know, he would probably have shared that information. Meditation, you know, to meditate in a place where you empty yourself, yoga, he would have practiced that with us. He would have showed us. He said the only thing that the disciples asked him to teach them, the only thing, James, was prayer. Not even to cast out demons, not even to, because it's through prayer that we, the relationship with God, through prayer, privately prayer, your closeness, with your intimacy, that you can have the ability to have the faith to lay hands on the sick. Because it takes the faith that is what motivates, the faith is what activates the power of the Holy Spirit through us, Holy Spirit through us. Amen. So Samhain, also called Samhain in ancient Celtic religion, one of the most important and sinister calendar festivals of the year. At Samhain, held on November 1st, the world of the gods would believe to be made visible to humankind. And the gods played, lowercase g, gods played many tricks on the mortal worshippers. It was a time fraught with danger, charged with fear, and full of supernatural episodes. Sacrifices and propitiation of every kind were thought to be vital, for without them, the Celts believed they would not prevail over the perils of the season or counteract the activities of the deities. Samhain was as important as Halloween. Okay,
I just want to say, people listening, is. Because it's pronounced Samhain, but it's spelled S-A-M, if you're looking it up, H-A-I-N or S-A-M-A-I-N. It's actually spelled both ways.
Amen. Thanks, James. Yeah, because people, we want to
encourage. Samhain, and if they're looking it up, they're like, it's
pronounced Samhain. And this is important because you should check what we're saying. You should, for yourself, line it up with the word. Let the Holy Spirit teach you personally. If there's something that's interesting or maybe that you don't agree with, it's wonderful because it motivates us to want to learn more and to get more information, you know. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." So the Halloween origin in the church says, Halloween, or Holy Evening, shortened from All Hallows' Eve, Halloween is the evening vigil before All Saints' Day, which is made up.
Which has nothing to do with ghosts and goblins and dressing up like dead people.
And that's a made-up day, too, though. That's not.
So they mixed them together, though.
Yeah, they mixed it together, yeah.
That's three different things. They put All Saints' Day in, the Hallow Eve.
Yep.
And Samhain.
Yeah. That's... Amen. So believed to be many, by many, a religious holiday honoring Christian martyrs. All Saints Day celebrations date back to the 4th century of Rome. But Pope Gregory III is the one who set the date to November 1st in the 8th century. The holiday was officially added to the Universal Church calendar in the 9th century. As the holiday spread to Christianized areas, traditions merged and local cultures, and this is the crux of the controversy, the whole thing. So it's a pagan tradition, it's not biblical, and there's no, if that's what you practice, that's fine, as long as you have to be the one that's comfortable, you know, with God and whatever it is that you're doing in your life. Not even Halloween, anything. You know, so there are people that I'm not going to tell somebody that they shouldn't do something if they haven't gotten conviction or corrected by the Holy Spirit. It's not my job. Hallelujah. But it is my job to say that doesn't line up with Scripture and then leave it there. So we want what the Bible says about unholy traditions we want to talk about, right? Jesus never told us to dress up and to give out candy. That's my
old trick or treat. In other words, it was like, give us something.
Yeah, good
was,
to eat.
What kind of cakes was it?
Trick or treats, Mom. Oh, they were sweet cakes or something for the, no.
Yeah, because they would do something.
I might even have it here. But anyway, so we avoid wicked customs. And we read about Deuteronomy. Leviticus 19:30-31 says, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. So familiar spirits are, I would say, Frankenstein, Dracula, the Mummy, Freddy Krueger. I'm sorry, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Those two little twin girls that are very scary looking. I mean, we are desensitizing our children. I went into Home Depot, and I'm not blaming, I'm not saying anything negative. I mean, we need places like Home Depot for stuff, but I was like, I cannot even believe my kids would have been screaming. You remember when Chucky was out, that little doll thing, mm-hmm. and we used to have Blockbuster? My daughter almost I was like, they almost had to shut down the scared breakdown that she had. She wouldn't go in the store because it was his picture. Mm-hmm. I was like, how do you put that? And I knew to say that then, even though I wasn't following Christ. I was like, who does that? Who puts that at the entrance of your door? You have children coming in. That should be in a private place, like your porn. You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, it's desensitizing our children. They think it's normal.
Well, look at halftime now in the NFL. I mean, we're totally
like bloody gore is not scary. It is scary. It's horrible to see that in real life, but they're making it where it's almost normal. So in 1 Corinthians 10:21, I'm sorry, I went on a little tangent, everybody. I love all
I'm thinking
you.
How good some stuff looks to people. It's not scary. That's very evil.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. And 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. All right? And I'm going to save the last thing when we leave, but when we're closing, because I have another scripture that I think is a good closing scripture. But, you know, we need to remember that Halloween is connected to death and darkness. I don't care how pretty we want to make it.
I want to say a little about it too.
Yeah, go ahead. And I talked about Home Depot, you know, and it's important that we recognize that our children, you know, as fun as we want to make it, are being desensitized and exposed to enemy's playground. So
yeah,
go ahead,
they would dress up to like ward spirits off and stuff. They'd set out a place for their dead relatives on that night,
mm-hmm.
leave it and set food out for them and stuff. But I want to read a couple things I got the founder of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, said, "It makes me so happy to see that the Christians allow their children to celebrate the devil one night a year." There's more witches casting spells on this night. They actually pray through the stores over the candy and stuff. And I'm not saying you... the enemy comes through doors, but I'll tell you, about everybody I ever work with that has not been through deliverance has unforgiveness, which is a huge door. Anyway, you'll notice that a lot of, if you look back, especially those that know the Lord, if troubles in marriages and stuff, a lot of them are in like around November, right after Halloween, because they pray against all the Christian leaders so on, against their marriages and for turmoil. It's also a night to to really watch over your pets, because there's a lot of sacrifice. The homeless population and undocumented people's population gets more people missing on Halloween, because sacrifice is becoming so prevalent. In blood sacrifice, the more pure the blood, like an innocent child's blood, it's like a money in the spirit realm. It's in the natural currency. But it's currency in the spirit realm, and the more pure, like the blood of Christ, trumps everything, because it's the most pure blood in the world, you know what I mean? So in the spirit realm, it's smashes everything. But I put my cat online, and I have so many people messaging me, "Do not let that thing go before Halloween. I'm telling you, you better know who you're giving it to."
And let me just say, can I just say something about baby? We're all born into sin, so that's why a baby is not pure at birth. Like, but the purest, because they haven't been exposed yet to making choices of choosing. You know, they might have generational stuff in them, you know, predestined for certain things if it's not broken off. But baby's blood is the purest, because it hasn't. Because we choose as we get older, we start to make the choices to follow, you know, the world, I'll say, you know, because the enemy, that's how he's the lowercase g of the world, you know, that's how he can manipulate people, human bodies. He needs bodies too, vessels like the Holy Spirit.
And if you don't understand that, read Romans 5. If you don't understand that we're born into sin, then you probably don't understand that you're righteous by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And then you won't walk in your righteousness of who you are, and you'll be fighting sin the rest of your life. You need to know you've been made a new creation. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
The mystery revealed. Colossians. Sorry. So it says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So we're all sinners since Adam, because sin came in the world and got in the bloodline, and it's passed down to every generation. And then Christ redeemed us from that. And by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. So we're made in right standing before the Lord. Because you got to come boldly before the Lord if you're going to see miracles and healing and stuff. And if you don't know you've been made in right standing, you're not going to be bold before the Lord. You're going to be cowering before the Lord.
And that's why he says, and believe in your heart. Because it's the believing who you are in him that is what, you know, set your soul free, basically, your mind, will, and emotions, your ideas, your thoughts, which activate, which manipulate your body. You know, it speaks to our words that come out. It makes us act a certain way. So we want to be renewed in the mind. And because when we were born again, are born again, or for those listening who feel that, you know, you choose today to be born again and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, welcome to the family. Our spirit is made whole. We are born again, but we need to walk out our sanctification. Our soul, our mind, will, and emotion still has old programming that needs renewing in the programming. You know, we need new information now. We can't go by the old thinking, the old belief systems, the old traditions, because they don't match God's. They're the world's. They're what we were born into. So we need to get a relationship with God and be in his word and be intimate with him, because it's through the, the more time I spend with him, the more my faith grows, the more mature I become, the more I believe his word. And that's the key right there, you know, because if I don't know, then I can't grow. I can't, you know, and I'll stay in that old man way and still, you know, be born again, but have that old man life, which is horrible. That's not why God doesn't want us in heaven. He wants us here. He needs us here to, he needs a bodily vessel to do his signs and
bring
wonders.
Bring the kingdom forth.
Yeah, to bring the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus spoke about the kingdom, not himself.
He had to come in embodied.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus had to be a man. Correct.
Yeah.
So the earth was given Jesus to Adam. Died, but Adam Christ gave lived. It to the enemy. Like, you know, on the cross. Jesus, the body was sacrificed, but the spirit lived. And then he was, and Jesus is the only body that came back bodily ever out of all the gods that we want to talk about.
Amen.
Muhammad didn't, Buddha didn't, none of them.
There's a couple of people, but Jesus raised them.
Amen. Yeah.
Lazarus. And
that's right. So, anyway.
So, and Elijah. And still Jesus is alive since the beginning. Nothing was created without him. All things were created through him and by
Hallelujah.
Him.
Hallelujah. And he is the one. He's the only one.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and then on the Halloween, you won't find any deliverance ministers because they know. You won't find them doing Halloween. Now, it feels, I mean, like people say it's so ridiculous, and it seems ridiculous in a way. We talk about this because we're born up growing up in it. But if we had never heard of it, and you're just serving the Lord, and then you went over another country. Oh, we have this festival, oh, and it started where the spirits would come, and they'd have to ward them off, dressing up in costumes of the dead, and they would burn bonfires to ward them off. And set, we'd be like, oh man, I ain't taking part in that.
I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah.
Because it's just so innocent seeming, and it's like I said, it was my favorite. But part of that's because I was so insecure. I loved wearing a mask. I'd be so goofy, mm-hmm. and everybody would be trying to guess who I was. I'd be messing with everybody. Mm-hmm. People didn't know, and then at the end of the night, I'd take it off. They're like, "What?"
Yeah.
They thought they knew.
Right, we make but, it fun. But alcohol started out fun too, you know. And look, you know, or
and
sex and all these things, and we put ourselves at risk to spirit, soul, and body. Sleep for me, every time I slept with another person, I not only had a soul tie with them and whatever they can latch on to me, familiar spirits and stuff on me, but you put your body at risk to get sick, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and at the time, and, it, you know, you're in a health, you believe you're in a health, I believed, I'll talk about me. And I'm not doing it like I'm trying to talk about me as an example, so I don't make anyone, I don't really want anybody to, it's not about blaming or pointing fingers. But I, a lot of my relationships, I really cared about the person. We got along. We wanted, you know, to be together. It wasn't like it was like, oh, negative, no. And we thought that was part of the relationship, right? But it might have not manifested in the relationship, but it manifested in my life somewhere else. My, you know, my activities that weren't holy, righteous, pure, because the enemy had a legal right. So it could have manifested. I had one of my daughters was very difficult. Maybe that's where it manifested. You know, we cast out things and we know today. But what I'm saying is that's where it might have. I don't know if that was the target, but it could have been. Thank God I was saved and I went down the path of deliverance, and I understand that because I was able to cast things out, break chains, look at myself and see where maybe I can break something. You know, if someone in my life was going in a direction that was pretty dark, could I be part of that? You know, any soul ties on me, you know, because like we said, it could go down generations.
Yeah, and I had... A lot of the, like, girlfriends I had would say to other people, too, they'd never been with somebody as loving as I was. Yet, I thought I was so good, but I was in fornication.
Right.
And not even.
It's not like
so I'm right. Just saying that, because when you're talking about Chucky, I was thinking, Yeah, that's the thing, is we look at stuff like that and, oh, that's evil, but not realizing, you know.
Correct. That's why God says,
loving sin that
I don't know you.
Sin.
Yeah.
And
because we give, we love, we're good people.
We're loving to get love.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. But you know, like especially when people do change a part of their life and they start living right, or you know, but it's still not unto the Lord. You know, that's where it is. It's still, you know. What you were saying before, first of all, I do want to say that Halloween may not seem to be evil, but it invites evil in. It can really do something in people's lives. And even,
You're going to haunted houses, doing all this stuff.
Yeah, haunted houses. People might come to my house, you know what I'm giving out? Because I get an opportunity to open the door and spread love, right? I don't know right now if it's the right thing or the wrong thing, but I know that if somebody knocks at my door, I want to glorify God the most I can. I can't prevent it from happening, but I can open the door and give them, I got little Jesus things. I mean, that's what they're getting at my house. If they don't want to come to my house, they don't have to, but that's what I do. I've been doing that every year, you know, like little Jesus things or any kind of gift that gives a scripture and God bless, and you know, just to maybe, you know, they open the bag and they see something, and you know, it's something that's special to them. I don't know, God knows, you know. But I don't want to hide from it and act like, you know, it's so bad that I can't, you know, I have to somehow glorify God in all things that I do. And so that's what he's been putting on my heart these past few years. And the more closer I get to him, the more revelation I get to see really how dark it is, you know, especially.
Well, God's bringing a revelation is because he's fixing to bring revival.
Amen. To the world.
He's going to bring revival. It's going to be through a pure church. So he's trying to get us cleaned up.
Amen. Amen. So I do want to say.
The dark's getting darker and the light's getting lighter.
Right. And light and darkness do not mix.
He's walking down the fence. He gave me that about 4 years ago. He says, I'm going to start walking down the fence, and all these fence line walk people walking on the fence are going to be going one way or the other.
Amen. And there are no cloudy gray days. So we can't mix darkness and light. Doesn't work, right? So we, you know, I've been praying for the blind and the lost, right? So if I practice or take them, open the door to negative things in my life, that's a choice. We have to make choices today. So I can't try to justify it anymore. I have to, because I do know his word. I know his word is literal. I mean, I take it very literal. And it's kingdom citizen living, you know. And I put my life and my family's life at risk when I participate in things that don't glorify God. All right. So words that are associated with Halloween in the Bible are witchcraft, fortune telling, divination, sorcery, evil, demonic, darkness, soothsayers, spiritists, mediums, death, dead, murders, sexual immoral, unbelieving. These are all words that you'll find in the word of God that are associated with Halloween words.
Someone called me on the way here, said they're listening to a secular radio station.
They're what? Anyway,
he listened to a secular radio station on the way here and said they were encouraging Ouija boards and stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The news
today.
Is doing it. I know. So, I mean, we have to make a decision, like James was saying, either we're on the light side of the fence or the dark side of the fence. You know, and if he's on the fence, a dear friend of mine, I don't know if he's listening, but he said, I think it was one of the pastors over in Vero that said it, and he repeated it, that the enemy owns the fence. So, you know, so if you're on the fence, you're on the wrong, you shouldn't even be on the fence. Just choose to go where Christ is in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I want to read Matthew. So, do you have anything Matthew, I'm going to read Matthew, where was it? 7:24, hold on. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. For everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. Hallelujah. So, you know, when we get information, it's up to us to process, to bring it to the Lord, and to ask him what he would have us do. Maybe he wants to reveal more to you. Maybe there are no coincidences. Maybe you're listening to this broadcast, the station right now, because there's information that God wants to get to you. I'm sure there is. You know, there's no coincidence in the kingdom of heaven. Everything's divinely appointed. So if you're hearing stuff that is making you agitated or you're agreeing, just write it down and ask God to lead and guide you and teach you in this area of what we're talking about. And just remember, we have to guard our heart. Guard yourself from unhealthy practices with the occult, with darkness. Not only during Halloween. I mean, I can easily want to, and I'm saying this in a way, like I want to hurt the person in front of me driving. You know what I mean? Like, and I have to say, catch my thought, take captive my thought, and bring it to the obedience of Christ, of God, his word. Jesus is the word.
Always pray for him. And that'll help you.
And then I
stop getting that attack.
And then I repent and I pray. And now, amen, James.
I try
to pray before I even get in the car. Okay? Because
yeah,
I know it's
me. But when you get mad like at them, yeah, pray for their eyes to be enlightened to the truth.
Amen.
Revelation of the truth.
Amen. Amen.
God to send labors to them.
So, and the things that we do during, you know, just simple reading horoscopes. I know I used to do it. I used to think I loved that. I would go right to the back of every magazine, the newspaper, and I wouldn't even read the newspaper. I'd just buy it for the horoscope, you know, because I wanted to know what God's plan and purpose, and I related it to God. You know, that's like, you know, craziness, but that's what I did. And I wanted to know what God's plan and purpose was for the month in my life. You know, that's how subtle the enemy could be in your life, right? Horoscopes, crystals. It's a very dangerous thing, you know. Mediums going to get your a reading, right? And witchcraft, you know, witchcraft is not only, you know, what we think of as witches around a pot, but it's just saying negative things about people, you know.
Trying to get anybody to do anything that you think they need to do.
Manipulation.
Even godly stuff.
Right.
Trying to force them against their will, that's witchcraft. Anytime you control another person, unless they're working for you, you're paying, even if it's your child, otherwise you don't control other people, and they feel that even if you don't, if you're doing that. I have a thing, it's that prophetic thing with me where I feel it so strong when I'm around people doing that, and they don't understand because I just don't say nothing, but it's really rough inside when they start trying to make me do what, because I'm trying to listen to the Holy Spirit and do what he wants.
Amen.
Even if it doesn't line up with what they think's right.
All right. So all these practices that we're talking about, they're all sinful and unhealthy for our lives. They all are. And, you know, I mean, we, you know, unforgiveness, sinful, unhealthy. The person that really gets hurt the most when you have unforgiveness is you.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt the other person.
No, they don't even know they're going on with the day, having a
you
party.
You forgetting them doesn't get them to heaven or do anything. It doesn't get them forgiven.
Exactly.
We're just not the judge. There's one judge, and you're putting yourself in the judgment seat of Christ.
That's right.
That's basically all there is to that. It's like drinking poison to kill him.
Yeah. You're drinking the arsenic? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And expecting the other person to die.
Yeah.
So it's a little cuckoo crazy, right?
But there's a spirit behind it that will keep bringing it to you and keep overwhelming you with anger. Yeah. So you got to know you're in a spiritual battle. It's not always easy just to forgive. But if you start interceding and praying for that person, you'll notice the attack will be way, way less.
That's right.
That's why God told us to pray for our enemies.
Amen. Amen. And that's the same thing like when I get in the car, I pray for the enemy. Father, please forgive me. And I pray for that person that they get revelation that, you know, whatever it is.
For their driving. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, right. So that they drive. No. It's right. It's revelation that to know him, because, you know, here I am saying I know him and I want to hurt, so I have to repent for that.
Yeah, if I get mad at one driver and just say real quick, I just command Satan to quit blinding their eyes to the truth of the gospel, and God send labors to them and enlighten the eyes of their understanding into the knowledge of him.
Yeah, amen. Because when you pray, because you want to pray what you want for yourself, because that's what I need at that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's beautiful.
Well, the enemy don't like you praying that way. He'll stop attacking you with that blood rage if you keep cool.
Of course, of course. So 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be Christ-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So
whom
not all people.
He may devour.
That he, yeah, to devour. Well, I may devour. Think, yeah. But what the point is, it could be anyone. It's not everyone. It's someone, you know? So you don't want to be that someone.
Yeah.
And you don't want that someone to be that someone. So you pray for all people.
Right. And that's the only reason you said whom he may devour, because it's like unforgiveness, then he may devour you. It's whom the doors opens, what he's looking for.
Right.
So he seeks
exactly
as a roaring lion.
So
he is not a roaring lion. He goes around as a roaring lion.
Yes, acting like one.
Seeking whom he may devour, which may be you. Yes.
Yeah. So we just want to pray for everybody that their eyes open up. You want to pray, James, and that they get closer with God.
Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day.
Yes, Lord.
And you created every day, Lord.
Yes.
So someone said they're going to pray for taking back Halloween. I said, we never had it.
Amen.
Not taking nothing back. So, Father, we ask you to bless everyone this night. Keep everyone safe, Father. Jesus. Anything that is not of you, let it be as water off a duck's back. Anything that you want to impart into people, we pray impartation from anything we spoke that's truth. Father, we ask you to just guide us, be with us, keep us safe in Jesus' name. Keep
and
our
all
animals
the kids.
Safe in Jesus'
yes.
name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. So, we just want to remind everybody, we'll be back, and we're going to probably go a little deeper with the unloving spirit next week.
Amen.
And we just bless everyone. Bye. Amen. Shalom, shalom.
God bless.
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. You waves and you breakers wash over me. Deep calls to deep in the mystery. Throw